You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Addiction impacts us all. Some of us are addicted in this room right now. Many of us have loved ones who struggle. And as the video said, once we've finally wrestled our addictions to the ground, they seem to still get back up. If we've never met before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard. And today's topic on addiction hits pretty hard for me personally because I have a history. I had my first drink when I was 12 years old. And I haven't known how to do things moderately very well in my life. For the next 7 years after my first drink, my friends and I, we would steal and lie and cheat and do whatever it took to get alcohol. And I could hide it pretty well. I was a pretty high-functioning addict. I performed academically and athletically, and other things were just hidden or more socially acceptable, but on the inside, I was broken and defeated, and the topics we've been discussing all month long, like anxiety and shame, just seemed to compound my struggles. Now, thankfully, I met Jesus in a powerful way when I was 19 years old, and I stand before you today celebrating now over 21 years of being clean from this addiction. And various others. And honestly, I am so thankful to God for all that he has done. But of course, on this side of heaven, addiction isn't always conquered. And my brother lost his life to addiction. And his struggles with mental health and the addictions he faced were eventually too much. And shortly after our family moved to Colorado, he lost his life. As painful as that was, and sometimes still can be, I have a lot of peace knowing this essential truth, that Jesus loves addicts, that he loves addicts, that there are a lot of people who've struggled with addiction until the very day that they died have found their place in heaven, and now they're totally clean and experiencing all of God's love with nothing getting in the way. Now, of course, I also believe, and I am living proof, that we can experience heaven on earth. We can experience freedom from whatever binds us today this side of eternity. It's why Jesus came to live and dwell among us. It's why he died on the cross and was resurrected back to life. He came to set us free. This is also true. But some of us will fight addictions until the day that we die. Now, if you've never started a life with God, or maybe you're here this morning and you've been telling yourself, I'll surrender my life to Jesus kind of once I clean some things up, once I get my life in order, then that's when I'll start a relationship with God. I wanna tell you this morning that you do not have to figure it all out before you start a life with God. You do not need to clean your life up before you run into his love. You do not need to have all of the answers. The love of Jesus Christ is here for you today. And he can begin to set you free this morning. And it always starts by surrendering your life to Jesus. If you've never done that before, and if by the end of our service, you are ready to start a life with the Lord this morning, we're gonna create space at the end of our service for you to do that. But for now, we wanna open the scriptures together. We wanna look at Matthew 9 this morning in particular, because this passage will help you understand God's heart for those who struggle, and for those who are sick. Matthew 9, verses 10 to 13. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Then he added, go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. From his own mouth, Jesus said, I did not come for the healthy. I came for the sick. I did not come for those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jesus, in his own words, it's clear, Jesus came for the sick. He came for the sick. And as a church, we need to be more like a hospital than anything else. Not a frat house or a country club or other social gatherings where people act like they have everything together. Because Jesus came to rescue people who realize they are sick and in need of help. He came to call the sinners into the love of Christ. And if you're missing it, that's me and that's you. And that's all of us gathered in this space together. May we never grow tired of watching Jesus rescue his people and set them free and heal them like the great physician he is. I'm so thankful that Jesus came for the sick because addictions come in all kinds of different shapes and sizes. Addiction can show up in our life in so many different kinds of ways. We could talk about alcohol, we could talk about drugs, we could talk about porn, which is obviously a huge one that is just destroying minds and relationships. You can be addicted to controlled substances. You know, for a long time they said that pot wasn't addictive, but now pretty much all of the science is refuting that. And I pastor people all of the time who can't fall asleep until they smoke. They're so anxious, they can't be at peace, they can't be at rest, they can't fall asleep unless they smoke. And if you're having a hard time falling asleep unless you smoke, that sounds like you're bound. It sounds like you're bound and that Jesus might want to set you free. If it's not just smoke, if you need a drink or two or three to finally kind of chill out and take the edge off and fall asleep, or if you find yourself browsing on your phone in places you know you don't belong and you can't kick the shame, you can't kick the habit, you very well may struggle with addiction as well, or you're on your way. I mean, think about what's happening in the culture right now. It's kind of fascinating to me that Dry January has become like this epic thing that we want to participate. If you haven't heard about Dry January, it's a month dedicated to being sober. And it's taking our culture by storm. More and more people are taking the Dry January challenge each year. And you would think that maybe if this has become such a cultural phenomenon, that at least some of us are drinking a little too much or a little too often. But thankfully, Jesus came for the sick. He came for the sick. And even more, he didn't come wagging his divine finger in your face. Jesus came for the sick and he came to show mercy. Mercy. The passage I read earlier when the religious leaders were all bent out of shape because Jesus wasn't hanging out with the right crowd. I mean, he was hanging out with people a lot like me. And it was offending all of the religious elites. And what Jesus said in response to their question, I think is so important for our understanding of the gospel and the way that Jesus interacts with people on earth. Look at verse 15. I'll read it again. He says, I want you to go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. It's about mercy. Mercy. Mercy to yourself, mercy to those around you. You know, it's pretty likely a church this size that there are some of us in this room who have very obvious addictions, others who have very hidden addictions. And it's just as likely that some of us in this room struggle with judgment against people who have addictions. And maybe you've been hurt, or maybe a loved one has burned a whole bunch of bridges that you keep trying to rebuild and they keep burning down, and the boundaries, they've been tough to hold. I know all of this too well myself, but in the midst of watching addiction, there is a high chance that some of us are a bit too judgy when it comes to other people's struggles. So whether you're addicted or clean, it doesn't matter. Remember this passage, Matthew 9, verse 13, that Jesus wants mercy. It's what he came for. He desires it, and he kept showing mercy every step of his ministry. The same is true today. He came for the sick, and he came with mercy in his heart. During this series, we've been talking about all kinds of different things, anxiety, shame. Today, we're talking about addiction. And as part of the sermon, every time that we've preached, we've done a live assessment with the screen where you can text in and you can answer a question. And all of the things are anonymous, and it's populated live right behind me in real time. So that's what we're gonna do again right now. You can pull out your phone if you want. The instructions are up on the screen. And I just wanna point out that what you do is you text Rodeo to that number, and then you'll be asked a question, and all you have to do is type in a number in response. You don't have to type out an answer, but you'll type in a numbered response, and it will populate live on the screen behind me. It's totally anonymous, but the question is, how are you impacted by addiction? How are you impacted by addiction? Are you currently addicted? Are you free from a previous addiction? Are there people in your life that you love who are addicted, or maybe it's all of the above? And I realize sometimes it's hard to pick just one. We don't have time or space for endless amounts of answers. But you can see these things are populating up live, right, as we speak, you know, all of the above. It's really quite easy for you to kick one habit and still be addicted to something else. Many of us can be addicted in this room right now or free from a previous addiction. I just want you to look at the results as they're coming in. Just be aware of what's even in this room right now. I mean, look at this. If you've ever struggled with addiction, if you're free from one, struggling with another, if you have people in your life that you love and you care for, and they're still struggling, I want you to know that this is a good church for you. You will be shown mercy at the Vineyard. We'll point you to a life of freedom, but you will be shown mercy at the Vineyard. And one of the primary ways that we show mercy here at the Vineyard, especially when it comes to addiction, especially when it comes to almost half the room responding with all of the above, one of the primary ways we show mercy here at the Vineyard is through Celebrate Recovery. Every Monday night in this room at 6:30 p.m., we host a Christ-centered recovery group called Celebrate Recovery, where you can find freedom in Jesus and a community to support you along the way as you experience the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. A few years ago, Brian Villers started Celebrate Recovery here at our church, and I'm so grateful to him and his leadership, and he's gathered an entire team. I know there's a huge team that helps pull Celebrate Recovery off every week, and I'm grateful to each and every one of them that helps CR be a ministry at our church. Because the reality is, if we're gonna be a church that's a lot more like a hospital than anything else, then we have to support and give and make space in our community for things like CR. I mean, every time you give to our church, it helps ministries like CR take place. And as I was praying about today and what to do and how to talk about addiction, God put an idea in my heart that we're going to run with and we're gonna try this morning. We're gonna have a Celebrate Recovery meeting right here, right now. Shorter than they normally are, of course. A normal CR meeting has worship and prayer, confession and sharing. Sometimes they have chip night where they're celebrating weeks, months, or years of sobriety. It has all kinds of things, but Brian is going to lead us in a Celebrate Recovery meeting right now. So Brian, can you come on up? This is Brian, everybody. And by the way, if you're interested in learning Brian's story, I wanna let you know that we have a Love Foco podcast, and Brian was one of the more recent interviews, shared his entire story. It was an incredible podcast. I would encourage you to take a listen to that and share it with others. But for now, we're just going to pretend like we all know Brian's story, okay? And he is going to teach us like he normally would during Celebrate Recovery. And then we're gonna finish by reading the Serenity Prayer together, because that's something that you guys do every time you gather. And I've never been in a church that's read the Serenity Prayer together, but I think this is a great place to do it. And so with that, I've been looking forward to this all week. I'm excited for Brian to lead us in Celebrate Recovery now.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Celebrate Recovery. Hello, my name is Brian. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I'm in recovery for alcohol and drug addiction, and I still struggle with sugar addiction and anxiety. Hi. In Celebrate Recovery, we have 25 lessons that we teach every year. We start over again in January. And today, we are going to be looking at lesson 3, which is called Hope. In the seat in front of you, or for you guys, right behind you, there's a piece of paper. If you want to pull that out, you can. It allows you to kind of write down some stuff about this and fill out some blanks. So lesson 3, Hope, is based on principle 2 from Celebrate Recovery. And on your paper, you'll see it says, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. It's based on happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, Matthew 5:4. And it's also based on step 2. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And that's based on, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to fulfill his good purpose. So in principle 2, we earnestly believe that God exists, that we matter to him, and that he has the power to help us recover. And in the first principle, what we did is we admitted we were powerless. It's through admitting our powerlessness that we're able to believe and receive God's power to help us recover. But we've got to be careful. We can't just cover the bottomless pit of our hurts and our habits and our hangups with layers of denial or some kind of quick fix. We need to keep those hurts exposed to the light so that through God's power, they can truly heal. And it's in the second principle that we're able to find the one true higher power, Jesus Christ. We come to understand that God wants to fill our lives with his love, his joy, and his presence. God's love is looking for you, no matter how lost you feel. God's searching love can find you no matter how many times you've fallen into sin. God's hands of mercy are reaching out to pick you up and to love and forgive you. And that's where you're gonna find hope. And that's why we call principle 2 the hope principle. And in CR, we love acrostics. Now, if you don't know what an acrostic is, it's one of those things where you see the letters of a word appear vertically, and then each one has just a different meaning. And that's what you're gonna see on your handout right there. So it's when you spell out the word vertically and then you have a different meaning for each letter and there's a bulletin in front of you. Let's look at the word hope and what it means in principle 2. So the letter H in hope stands for higher power. And our higher power is the only true higher power, and he has a name. It's Jesus Christ. Lucky for us. In the past, you may have believed in Jesus' existence. You may have even attended church. But what you're going to find in principle 2 is a personal relationship with Christ. You'll see that Jesus wants a hands-on, day-to-day, moment-by-moment relationship with us. And he can do for us what we've never been able to do for ourselves. Romans 11:36, Paul writes, everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power. And here's the thing. Many people today, they believe their doubts and they doubt their beliefs. For instance, have you ever seen an idea? Or have you ever seen love? Or have you ever seen faith? I mean, of course not. You've seen acts of faith and you've seen acts of love, but the rest of the things that are lasting in this life are actually invisible spiritual realities. This leads us to the first 4 words of step 2 that we just went over. Saying that we came to believe in anything, it describes a process. Belief is a result of consideration and then doubt and then reason and then concluding. It's not just this simple thing. And I want to be crystal clear on this first letter, H, higher power. Jesus Christ is the center of our program, Celebrate Recovery. And he needs to be the center of every single meeting we have. And if you want to heal fully, you need to make a decision every day to live as he is the center of your life. And the truth is, I've come to believe that Jesus Christ is the truth and that he is the center of everything, seen or unseen, in ways that I can't even fully understand. And when I live in denial of that truth, my life goes downhill really fast. When we deny Jesus access to the hidden areas of our lives, we're left to our own strength and our own devices, and we fail. then our hurts and our habits and our hangups, they swoop in and they take over and they influence all of our decisions. And that's H. And so we move on to the letter O in hope. The letter O is openness to change. What's the process that leads to solid belief that changes your life? We're going to go back to those first four words of step two again. We came to believe. The first two words, we came. We took the first step and we attended our first recovery meeting. Look at you. You did it. We came to. We stopped denying our hurts and our habits and our hangups. And the third part, we came to believe. We started to believe and receive God's power to help us recover. I believe the steps to recovery are kind of the same as the steps of coming to faith in Jesus in the first place. So whether you're singing, saying the steps out loud, repeating the serenity prayer, or maybe reading some tough scripture, what we do is first we learn to say it, then we learn to mean it, and then we learn to live it. Over and over and over again. And that's the process of growing in our faith, and it's the process of growing in our recovery as well. Hope is openness to change. Sometimes we're afraid to change because our past was painful. We resist change because of the fear of the unknown. Or in our despair, we don't think we deserve anything better. Hope discovers what can be done instead of grumbling about what can't be done. And throughout your life, you'll continue to encounter hurts and trials that you're powerless to change. But with God's help, you can be open to allow those circumstances and situations to change you and to make you better instead of bitter. Ephesians 4:22-24, Paul gives us a challenge. He writes, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And how will you do that? Well, that brings us to the letter P in hope. The letter P stands for power to change. In the past, we may have wanted to change, but we've been unable to do so. And we couldn't free ourselves from our hurts and our habits and our hangups. And in principle too, we understand that God's power can change us and our situation. Philippians 4:13 confirms it. And by the way, Philippians is a great letter from Paul that is so helpful if you have anxiety or addiction. Paul writes, "For I can do everything God asks me with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and the power." So we can't do any of it without God, but God lets us partner with him. We start by showing up and being part of our community. Hope draws its power from a deep trust in God's grace, and our power comes from our higher power. That's the P in hope. And the last letter in hope is E, and it's expect to change. Remember, you're only at the second principle. In CR, we say, don't quit before the miracle happens. But you're gonna have to lean into the changes. You're gonna have to show up. You're gonna have to be part of this community. And at CR, we say every chip night, we say, keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it. With God's help, the changes you have longed for are just steps away. Once again, in Philippians 1:6, Paul writes, "I am sure that God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until the task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns." And that's a promise you can expect God to keep. Now, I'm going to be honest. Living in expectancy is foreign to me. I mean, I grew up poor. I grew up like government cheese and hand-me-down jeans poor. Moving from cabin to cabin in Estes Park, sometimes living in a van. My dad was addicted to many things and abusive. And in that environment, you learn to not expect good things. What you learn to do is survive. But here's what I've learned in recovery. God doesn't operate in a scarcity mindset. He operates in abundance. And he wants us to retrain our expectations. So here's the question. How do you move on from just hoping for change to actually expecting it? It's fairly simple. What you do is you show up and you learn to have faith. And how much faith do you need to get started? Matthew 17:20, Jesus says, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." You don't need large amounts of faith to begin this recovery process. You only need a small amount, as small as a mustard seed, to affect change and to begin to move the mountains of hurts and habits and hangups in your own life. We expect change because God is faithful. We start small because faith grows, and we keep showing up because the miracle is coming. And that's the end of your acrostic. Eternal life doesn't begin with death. It begins with faith. Faith, even the size of a mustard seed, so small you can hardly see it, is the avenue to salvation. You can't find salvation through intellectual understanding, gifts of money, good works, or attending church even. The way to find salvation is described in Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yes, all you need is a little faith. If you put the faith you have in Jesus, your life will be changed. You'll find hope in the only higher power, Jesus Christ. His spirit will come with supernatural power into your heart and he will change you. And it can happen to you. I saw a lot of people up here preaching. I never thought that this kind of thing could happen to me. I sat out there and said, that'll never happen to me. And now I'm standing up here. Tonight, I encourage you to take this step of hope. It'll give you the courage to reach out to the Lord so you can face the present together with confidence and the future with realistic expectancy. Simply put, my life without Christ is a hopeless end. With him, it is an endless hope. So now at CR meetings, before we break into our share groups, we recite the full serenity prayer out loud. And some of you may have never seen the full serenity prayer because most of the coffee cups and things just have the first few lines. But if you'd like to join me in reciting the serenity prayer together, it starts like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Well, you did it. So if you're ever scared to come to a Celebrate Recovery meeting, there's pretty much a lot of the bulk of what you're going to experience. And so, as Jeff comes back out here, I would just like, if we would, to get a round of applause for how much Jeff and Natalie and the whole staff give so much effort towards mental health and addiction. Thank you, Pastor Jeff.
We could have an applause award, and I think it would be louder for you, Brian. Let's give Brian a round of applause. As we prepare for our time of reflection and response, then I want to close with one final thought this morning. It said Jesus did come for the sick. He came to show mercy, and he came to set you free. The Vineyard motto is to come as you are, but don't stay as you are. That Jesus came to set you free. When Christ started his ministry, he opened the scroll and read from an Old Testament passage and told everyone that was listening that that passage was about him. It's found in Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. And this is what Jesus said about himself and his ministry. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." I'm not sure anyone ever told my brother this, and I know no one ever told me this, but if you are struggling, and if you are bound, and you need to be set free, there is hope in Jesus Christ. And you should join Celebrate Recovery to find a community and to find faith in Jesus Christ so that you can experience this promise from the mouth of Christ himself, that he came to set the oppressed free, to release the captives, and that favor can rest upon you today. Let's pray together.